Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Pomp rejoins the fray on Thursday. I'm out at Studio B, Bowser Chevy in Monroeville, having a grand time out here. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And out on the fan hotline, we find our friend Michael McHenry. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Michael, it goes without saying, it's been really tough for the Pirates, really all season. It feels like, especially lately, maybe they get a spark from the new manager, but that has sort of flatlined to 3-7 under Don Kelly. So what's it like in a clubhouse like this? How do you keep things together? How do you keep things loose and light if you even try to do that? What's it like? Because baseball's unlike every other sport in that you're in there getting ready for games every day, just trying every single day to get out of this.
Yeah, there's no great way for everyone. Everyone's got their own thing. But as a team, I think a perspective shift is always good. We saw Brian Reynolds do the lending hearts on the road and then come right back, hit the ball hard, get two hits. And I think sometimes that really helps. But the biggest thing in the game is whether you have to fake it till you make it, whether you got to do a fighting thing again and just kind of get wrapped around something as a group. I just think having that one heartbeat, that one mindset of what you're trying to do. And then the other way is find your little wins. You know, like, you're not going to get a hit every time. You're not going to get the guy in from third every single time. But you can work towards, like, man, I'm just underneath everything. I got to really focus on, you know, hitting the ball hard on a low line drive. And maybe that's all you do in batting practice in the game. You try to do it at, you know, the second baseman three times. And if you do it, you just won that day, which will stack on to the next day. Because they got to find wins, because it looks like these guys are taking on the entire world every time they take a swing. It just is too much pressure. You can't play fearful. You have to be loose in some facets. So they got to find a way.
Yeah, one guy who probably carries, you know, more weight, more is expected from than anybody, for good reason, I would say, is Brian Reynolds. Have you seen a guy this year that looks like he's battling an injury at the plate? Has he made changes that haven't worked at the plate? I know that you make a study of these guys, Michael, and you're really good at breaking them down. What have you seen from Brian Reynolds? What do you attribute these major struggles to?
So it's very – so I'm going to tell you how I kind of break down guys. So one, I watch the body movement. Then I look, hey, are they swinging at good pitches? And then I move on to, all right, let's compare it to years in the past.
Yeah.
And then I ask those questions that you were just talking about. Is he dealing with something that we don't know about that could cause the mechanical issues? Is something going on off the field that maybe has his mind elsewhere? He's not sleeping, whatnot. So I kind of put it all in perspective. And where I'm at right now is Brian Reynolds started off with a shoulder, right? He's a switch hitter. If the shoulder is bothering Bo, whatever it is, that is what is helping him get to every pitch and extend. And the one problem he's had more than anything is hit the ball on the ground a ton. His swing and miss isn't bad. He's swinging at good pitches. So my thought is he able to get that snap at the end to really get that top hand activated? Because as a right-handed thrower and a left-handed hitter, that right hand really pulls hard through the zone. But once you get to the end, you have to trust that left hand to take over. It's your non-dominant hand. So it's one of those things where there's a lot going on, but mechanically speaking, he's really trying to create rhythm into his load and stay down in the ground. And if he can do that, he's a different guy. I did a breakdown yesterday of Benson on the pregame show. Very similar in the sense of years past, he was coming up out of the ground. So he was coming up through the ball, which makes you top spin the ball, miss hit the ball. Brian Reynolds is actually getting on top. He's coming up so much instead of underneath, where it's going to create a lot of ground balls and top spin. So I'm hoping he puts it all together. It looks a lot better the last couple of days. Really liked his at-bats the last 3 days, especially.
Well, that brings us to Cruz. And if we would have talked 2 weeks ago, I think I would have said, you know, his plate discipline is improving for sure. His OPS is around 900.
Hitting homers. You guys?
Can you hear me? Michael?
I think I lost him briefly. I'm going to try to get him back.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about O'Neill Cruz for a minute. If we did talk a couple weeks ago, it looked like the plate discipline better, the power up, the OPS around 900. I mean, he was their best player by a million miles. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know whether this is injury related or not, nothing's happening. Like, nothing. He's got no extra base hits. Since when? Since the May 3rd was his last extra base hit. He's not walking and he's striking out all the time. 16 times in the last seven games, including seven of his last eight at-bats. So I wonder what Michael's seeing there. And I trust that Limits back in the home studio is going to keep me updated every second of the way.
Will do. As soon as I have an answer for you on whatever happened to Michael's connection, you will be the first to know, Joe.
We're almost a third of the way into the season, all right? So I think that clearly Brian Reynolds is my most disappointing player so far. The first $100 million player in Pirates history. And and this seems to infect players over there year by year, where a guy's not just slumping, it's like historic stuff. All right, Michael, I was talking about Cruz and how earlier this month he seemed to be on a great track with plate discipline, power, OPS around 900. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. Do you see injury there? He struck out 16 times in the last seven games, doesn't have an extra base hit since, I think, May 3rd. What's going on with him?
I mean, you got to look at the back. And sorry about that big swing and miss I just had. I was talking about approach and Brian Reynolds, and here I am missing. I think it's more or less when any time you have something go in that midsection region, especially your low back or your oblique or anything else, you get a little tentative. You maybe think about it too much, and those naturally change something in your swing. He's also faced, I mean, you can't really count Wheeler. He strikes out the world. Yeah. Some of the guys he's had to face has been really, really tough, and he hasn't matched up well. And he's going to run through some stretches where he swings and misses a lot, and then all of a sudden it comes together, as we've seen. I do hope that he moves away from that leadoff spot so he can just think about production. It looks like he's trying to be a little bit more of a leadoff guy, and they've kind of figured out that he's going to swing at that first pitch in it, and it looks like he's trying to do damage right out of the gate, which I love. But I think he could produce tenfold, you know, maybe – moving him down in the lineup. I loved him and Kutch 1-2 punch last year, and they did their little handshake. I think Kutch had his best month when they were doing that. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do, but I think he's a little banged up, and he's playing through it.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, on a positive note, we're talking to Michael McHenry here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Skeens and Keller, their record wouldn't show it, but they've been really, really good. And Skeens was downright electric on Sunday in Philly. What did you see from him that day? That was maybe missing in some other starts, even though he was really good. I thought that day he was just flat out special.
Yeah, by far his best start. And I think it's no coincidence he's wearing camo, socks pulled up, camo socks. I think we should deem every Skeens start day at home, since he's incredible on the road, as a camo day. You know, honor your military, because like it just seemed right. Right after he got announced with USA Baseball, which is incredible. I'm a big part of their organization and love what they do, and he represents it perfectly. But I think all that momentum, all that hype that he got during the week, you know, the rivalry weekend, I just think he lived up to the villain for Philadelphia, because that's the big monster in our state and our rival. And two, like, he was just who he was. The mechanics looked better. The release was more consistent. His changeup is the best pitch on the planet that he throws nine times and gets five whiffs. It's really special to watch this guy go out. You know, he started the year with the lower arm slot. He's already back up. You know, he's making adjustments that it takes guys years to make. And he's doing it between starts. He's doing it, you know, between a half season here and there. And I don't think there is a ceiling you could really describe of where he could be. Because just like Mitch Keller, we talked about this last night, me and Steven, a bunch, this guy's going to get better with age, because he just gets better and better at pitching. So the stuff is one thing, but he's just getting better at pitching. Skeens came into the game with all the stuff, understood how to pitch, has a tactical game plan that's going to really hurt you no matter what, because he can adapt so well on the fly. And to say his last six starts prior to this weren't good for Skeens is a legitimate statement. More of what we saw there is what we're going to see more of, because that was special. Different sequencing, better sequencing, everything to me, to your point, was like top notch. It could have easily been a no-hitter, perfect game on any given day with that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's coming this year, one or both.
I do too. I really do.
I mean, that was impressive. And then there's Keller.
Right?
Yeah. And Keller had one blow-up start against the Yankees, 3 2/3, 7 earned runs. If you could take away that one start, and you can't, I get it, but if you could, we'd be talking all-star numbers for Keller. Because other than that, I think he's been really, really good. What do you see there?
Well, I always make this joke. May is Mitch, and Mitch is May. I don't know what the tie is there, but he dominates in May. Just to put in perspective, this is something I was going to talk about later on postgame. He's got 12 wins, which is his most in this month. 3.86 ERA, which is his best in this month. Most inning pitch, two complete games, a shutout. He has no other complete game shutout any other month. When I say every category, his best numbers are in May, every category. And people will say, oh, 3.86, that's not that good. Well, if you remember Mitch's first 3.5 years, he was trying to figure it out. But if you look at his last 3 years in this month, it's a joke. So, like, I think he's hitting his stride. And like I said, watching him change his usage over the last three starts, really start utilizing the fastball better. I think he's using his breaking pitches a lot better. And I think him and Skeens, if you look at kind of how they're using their breaking pitches, I think they're helping each other out. And it's been phenomenal to see. So I think Mitch Keller still has a chance to get that all-star bid, because I think this month he's going to run through some teams like he did yesterday with Cincinnati. And he started out where he threw 26 pitches in the first, 16 breaking balls, and he couldn't find the zone, and then came out and dominated with this fastball for 5 innings. I mean, that's a veteran right there, and I loved it.
You said something interesting before, and I'll let you go on this one, Michael. We're talking to Michael McHenry, that you are part of USA Baseball. And I'm wondering, we always look at, like, United States hockey. Where does that stand in the world right now? And basketball, for sure. Like, you know, the world has caught up to U.S. basketball, although they won the gold medal. What right now is the state of U.S. baseball compared to around the world? Where are we? What's something interesting you could tell us about USA baseball?
Japan is running up the leaderboard really fast. I think last time, so the way that they do this measurement is between all the Pan Am games, all the World Classics, they pin it all together. So, like, how did the 12U team do in Tokyo, and who all was there? China's getting really good at the lower levels, and they're going to be better in the future, especially if they jump into the World Baseball Classic. They need to play more baseball over in China. But it's really the complete Asian region is growing immensely because of the guys that are coming over to the United States. baseball is growing so rapidly over there that the talent and their development because of their discipline is off the charts. And the one thing about USA Baseball, why we're falling behind, is because in Japan, if they win a gold medal, there is a parade in the country. If you win a gold medal here, nobody hears about it. So it's a different animal. Everybody hears about the World Baseball Classic, but most people don't know. I'm part of USA Baseball and helped pick the team for 18U the last 2 years. So is Jack Wilson. Some really incredible dudes. They won gold last year. It was playing games to get into the games that they're going to – it's a World Cup is what they call it. And a lot of people don't even know it's going to happen. So I think, you know, kind of getting behind the United States again, it will help. But I think this next World Baseball Classic could put us back in incredible graces in the sense of we are baseball because it's America's pastime.
When is that, Michael? When's the World Baseball Classic?
World Baseball Classic's next year. Is that what it's called? It's called the World Baseball Classic, right? Where they put it all together.
So, yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah.
So it's next spring. I mean, you're talking about Judge being the captain. Skeens is going to lead the race. I'm pretty sure Chris Sale is going to end up on that team. Scooble. I mean, you're talking about juggernauts. You know, the guys that should be there are going to be there. Last time a lot of guys pulled out. I don't think it's going to be the case this time. I think they saw the excitement. I don't think you can describe that atmosphere. It was some of the best baseball I've seen in my life. I can't wait because the Dominican's going to be absolutely packed. Venezuela's going to be packed. But we're in a better division to get to the top and get back to Japan and put them on a plane and send them home.
Man, that's going to be awesome. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate the time. Great, as always.
I appreciate it. I got a good statement from one of the guys I look up to in USA Baseball organization. He said, "We are in the gold medal business." And it's something that I always think about because I was supposed to play in 08. And I couldn't. I got hit in the ear, had a seizure, and the organization wouldn't let me go. Well, the guy that replaced me hit the game-winning home run to win gold. So every time someone says, you know, what's your goal? I was like, I'm going to win a gold medal. I don't say maybe, sort of. At some point, I'm going to go coach and I'm going to win a gold medal because that guy said, we're in the gold medal business and this man's going to win one. And that's the thing I'd say with the Pirates. Just grab for the biggest thing you can and try to pull it to you. And I think everything's going to get better.
Who was the guy who replaced you that hit that homer?
Lucas May.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Michael.
They called it Pan Am Games. A lot of fun. All right, guys. Take care. God bless.
See you, buddy. Limits, that sounds like it's going to be pretty exciting, does it not?
Yeah, it sure certainly does. I love watching the World Baseball Classic. The last time they had it, Michael was right. It was incredible to watch. Ohtani up against Judge was the final matchup in the WBC. And whew, that was must-watch television for me.
I mean, Skeens and Judge is a pretty good place to start for a ball club, no?
Yeah, on the same team.
Oh,
especially,
man.
You're going to see Skeens against Ohtani. There's a good chance of that in the World Baseball Classic.
Somebody asked me on X, because we were talking about Skeens and trading him and all that stuff was a topic earlier. Would you trade Skeens straight up for Aaron Judge? Would you, Limits?
Yes, I probably would, even though Skeens is almost 10 years younger?
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't think I would, just because,
the age factor is the huge thing. Plus, if you throw Aaron Judge on this team.
Contracts and everything else. Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Neither I'd say no. I'm depressed.
I've talked myself out of it.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.